If you have any comments or anything that you'd like to share related to today's installment of School News or any episode of School Sucks Podcast, please check out the show notes page at schoolsucksproject.com/podcasts. There is a place to post comments there relevant to specific episodes. You just find the show that you're looking for and post away. And thank you very much for all of the comments we have received already. And I would love to meet you, so please consider coming to Porkfest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, held the last week in June at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire. I will put a link to information about this event in today's show notes, but there are some excellent speakers lined up, including Stefan Molyneux and Mark Stevens. And we will have a vendors table, which will include information and literature about School Sucks Podcast, as well as some merchandise. Thanks to the hard work and dedication of Ofer Neve, the show's webmaster, the creative work of Marcij Harabash, who does graphic design for us, and the great generosity of the show's primary sponsor, Jason Osborne. So once again, that was Porkfest, P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T. Like I said, check out the show notes for more information about that. And I hope to see you there. Thanks.
Hey, Brett. I just wanted to show that I have longer hair than you. And since I have no intelligent things to say to your show, I have to correct you on the pronunciation of German philosophers. This speech is in reality in German Johann Gottlieb Fichte. I know that's difficult for an American to pronounce, but it's Fichte, and it's George Hegel. That's Georg Hegel, and the Volksschule is Volksschule. And the real school is Realschule. Okay, thank you. Fichte.
Fitch.
Fichte.
Heath.
Fichte.
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 Hegel.
Egel.
Hegel.
Egel.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
Ooh. I would like to buy a hamburger.
Volksschule.
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 Maybe we should stop.
We don't quit. We do not quit. Again, again.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a burger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
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 Hi, everyone, and welcome to the third installment of School News. And I just want to start out by saying, I promise I am not making this up. Many times in the past, I've talked to people about the coercive nature of government school, the lack of choice, and the lack of incentives that these bureaucrats have to ensure that they're delivering a good service education-wise to children. And people are often very quick to correct me. They want to tell me about all of the ways parents can get involved with their child's education. They can go to PTA meetings. They can go to school board meetings. They, if they play their cards right, could even someday be on the school board. Well, I thought today we would look at a case study. It took place over the course of a decade, as a group of parents in Arizona tried to have an impact on the education of their children and grandchildren. From the Goldwater Institute Watchdog Report, goes back a while, March 10th, 2010, Arizona's school district sues taxpayers to stop questions. The Goldwater Institute Watchdog Report is a periodic publication intended to identify government corruption and waste and to hold politicians and public agencies accountable to taxpayers. Well, good luck with that. So the article begins. A handful of taxpayers in a small community north of Wickenburg, Arizona, are being targeted by the local school district in a lawsuit that asks a judge to declare they have no right to request public records, sue the district, or complain to outside agencies. The Congress Elementary School District claims that past efforts by these residents to obtain documents such as minutes of board meetings and spending reports amount to harassment that should not have to be tolerated. But Gene Warren, one of the four defendants named in the lawsuit filed January 28, 2010, said the complaint is an illegal attempt to silence citizens who have questioned the district's policies and spending practices. Quote, "The whole thing is based on trying to shut us down so nobody has any rights," Warren said. "Just because you live in a small area does not mean you don't have rights. Everything I believe about the Constitution and what it means to be a citizen of the USA is being shot down." The school district has a history of violating state laws mandating government transparency. According to investigations dating back to 2002, done by the Arizona Attorney General and State Ombudsman. Ombudsman. There's a word. If you don't have your bureaucratic rat hole vocabulary flashcards handy, an ombudsman is a public official who is appointed to investigate citizen complaints. That's from Webster's. In 2002 and again in 2007, the district was found to be in violation of the state's open meeting law by the Attorney General's office. In June 2009, the state ombudsman's office admonished the district for its slow response to public records requests. Liz Hill, the assistant state ombudsman, good thing I defined that, for public access, told the Goldwater Institute she is not aware of any other instance in which a government agency has filed a court action seeking to block citizens from even requesting public records that should otherwise be available. It is something that frustrated government officials have talked about, but to her knowledge, none has ever followed through, said Hill, who did not want to comment on whether the district's lawsuit is justified. There's a lot of talk about entities going and getting injunctions or other kinds of protective orders not to have to respond to certain individuals or certain requests, Hill said. But I haven't actually been aware of any specific case, just more the theory of it. This is the first time I've actually seen someone go and attempt to do it. So, new heading here, using courts to turn away requests. The district's lawsuit acknowledges the documents that have been requested are not privileged or confidential, which means they are public records that normally should be disclosed. But for the most part, the records sought were agendas and minutes of governing board meetings, spending reports, and records related to the defendant's own children. However, the district's lawyer, Franklin Hoover, what a perfect last name for a public school district lawyer, Hoover. I'm sorry. But it's like, yeah, you suck off of them, and then, I suck off of you. Argues the repeated public records demands and requests for investigation filed with outside agencies are a costly nuisance, and the district should not be forced to respond. Defendants have abused both the public records request and the administrative complaint system in order to harass the plaintiff, Hoover wrote in court motions. Defendants' requests and complaints were unduly burdensome due to the sheer volume of the records requiring preparation by the plaintiff in response. The lawsuits ask a Yavapai County Superior Court judge to block Warren, Cindy Regis, Barbara Rejon, and Jennifer Hoag from filing any more public records requests. The district also wants a ruling that it does not have to comply with previous requests for public records and an order restricting the right of Warren and others to file a lawsuit or complain to any outside agency, including the Ombudsman and the Attorney General. All of the defendants are being represented by the Goldwater Institute Schraff Norton Center for Constitutional Litigation, which learned of the complaint shortly after it was filed. Carrie Ann Citrin, a Goldwater Institute attorney, said the lawsuit is a clear attempt to silence people in the community who have been critical of the board's actions and have made good faith attempts to ensure the district is spending taxpayer money wisely. The district's actions go beyond violating government transparency laws. They amount to an affront on the First Amendment rights of citizens to free speech and to petition their government, Citrin said. In this case, the citizens in this community were exercising their rights, Citrin said. The board's response was to try and threaten them into shutting up, and this is not what our system of government is supposed to be allowed to do. There is a good faith intent by each of these people in all of their actions to make the school better, to make it more efficient, and to make the education of their children better. They never asked for a single document they didn't have good reason to ask for. Under the law, you don't even need a good reason. These people had great reasons every time. That's still Citrin from the Goldwater Institute. Beyond defending the claim, Citrin said she would do whatever is necessary to ensure the district follows the state's public records law in the future. They're obviously not following the law on their own, she said. The district officials refused to comment on this story, citing the Goldwater Institute's decision to represent the defendants. New heading, New School Comes to Congress. Warren said she resents the suggestion that she is trying to harm the elementary school or harass district officials. She was an early supporter of building an elementary school in Congress. Before the school was built in 2001, students were bused to nearby Wickenburg. Warren says she always felt obliged to monitor how the district spends its money. Her involvement in the district's business became more personal in September 2001 when her daughter, Jennifer Hogue, moved to the district from Glendale. Hogue became dissatisfied with her son's education plan by December of 2002 and filed a complaint against the district that was later sustained by the Arizona Department of Education. Though she is named as a defendant in the lawsuit, Hogue has not lived in the district or filed any requests for documents in more than 6 years. The only documents Hogue requested from the district were records related to her son, which she is entitled to see under federal and state laws. Warren said the run-in with the school superintendent over her grandson's education plan made her skeptical of how the district was spending taxpayer money. In 2002, she began requesting copies of board minutes and agendas dating back to 2000, according to the lawsuit. By the district's own reckoning, Warren filed 4 public records requests between June 21, 2002 and February 2003. In every case, the documents sought dealt with agendas and minutes, the most basic public records which all government agencies are required by law to make available. The district was not properly posting government board agendas or making minutes available to the public as required by the state's open meetings law, Warren said. The assertion was supported by an investigation conducted by the state attorney general's office in 2002 that was triggered in part by the complaints Warren filed. In a letter of concern issued December 30, 2002, Assistant Attorney General Lisa Newville says school officials broke the law by posting agendas that were vague and hard to find, by illegally using closed-door executive sessions to discuss public business, and by scheduling special meetings in an apparent attempt to make attendance inconvenient to the public. The board also failed to keep appropriate meeting minutes, even on critical issues such as budgets and teacher hiring, the letter concluded. New heading, challenging the dress code. Warren backed off her battles with the district in mid-2003 after her grandson left the school. But controversy flared again in 2007, and so did new demands for public records from Warren and other residents. School officials were looking to impose a dress code, which many parents in the district opposed. Among them was Barbara Rejon, who at the time had a third-grade daughter attending the school. Rejon was appointed to a committee to study the issue in March of 2007. She was told that a survey of parents showed overwhelming support, but was skeptical of the results. Region filed a public records request to see the original survey cards returned to the district. I have never to this day been allowed to see them, Region said. The district board adopted the uniform dress code in June of 2007. Other records that Region sought had to do with her adopted daughter. Region learned that in late 2007, her daughter was seeing a counselor at school. When school officials refused to turn over information about those sessions, Region requested documents seeking the name of the counselor so she could contact him. Region's original request was dated November 9, 2007. It took her 16 months and two subsequent written requests before she was notified by the district who the counselor was and how he could be contacted. Now, let me pause right there again just for 1 second. And I'm reading this whole article just like I said at the beginning, so nobody thinks I was making this up, because this is really like so unbelievable. I would not be offended if you accused me of making something like this up. So I want to give you the whole story. But I know this is a little bit dry, and if you've kind of faded out a little bit, I just want to repeat what was just said. The school put a child in counseling, not only without telling the parents about it, but then refusing them access to not just what they were talking about, but who the person even was and why. That's amazing. Cindy Regis fought a similar battle with the school over records related to her son. And like Region, Regis's troubles began when she voiced opposition to the policy requiring school uniforms. During a school board meeting on August 8, 2007, Regis tried to ask the board to reconsider the policy. But after she got out a single sentence, she was cut off by board president Jim Thompson, who refused to allow her to continue speaking, Regis said. Her account was confirmed in a subsequent investigation by the Attorney General's office. Regis and other parents complained to the Attorney General about the board's tactics in late 2007. Aside from cutting Regis off, the board improperly held about 45 minutes of policy discussion with a group of parents after its regular September 2007 meeting ended, according to the complaints. State investigators concluded the board did not violate the open meetings law by refusing to allow Regis to speak, since the law does not allow the government body to impose restrictions or not allow public comments at all. But Assistant Attorney General Robert Source cautioned in a December 12, 2007 letter to Thompson that Regis's First Amendment speech rights may have been violated, an issue beyond the scope of our investigation. As for the 45 minutes of discussion after the September board meeting ended, Source concluded that was a violation of the open meeting law. Source noted in his letter to the board that the district had been found in violation of the open meeting law in 2002. Quote, the board should have had a heightened awareness of its obligation to comply with the open meeting law and avoided engaging in conduct that could be construed as an open meeting law violation, he wrote. To settle these complaints, the district entered into a consent agreement with the Attorney General's office, agreeing to take additional training on the law and to hold a community discussion about the violation and at its next regularly scheduled meeting. Despite being admonished by the Attorney General's office twice in a 5-year period, the district's response to the public records requests did not improve, according to Warren and her co-defendants. Last segment. Records remain hidden. For Regis and Region, most of the requests filed with the district have been for their children's records, which must be disclosed to parent under provisions separate from the public records law. Both said in an interview with the Goldwater Institute they made several requests for the same information because the district repeatedly refused to release records, claimed that the requests were not specific enough or turned over incomplete files. Both parents have also tried to get budget information and documents related to school performance with little success. I have already lost my parental rights at this school, Regis said. I have to put him in a uniform that I totally disagree with. Now they're telling me I can't say anything about the budget. I can't even go in and request my son's records. I can't get into that school. I don't know what they're doing to him." Unquote. Warren has intensified her efforts to track spending at the school and makes no apologies about it. Two items of particular interest have been the air conditioning units and computers. The 24 air conditioning units were new when the school was built in 2001. By early 2009, the district had already implemented a program to replace them, according to board minutes. Warren maintains that the units were not properly installed and that they should last much longer than 8 years. Dean Gray, executive director of the Arizona School Facilities Board, which pays to construct new schools, said air conditioning units should last 12 to 15 years. As to the computer, Warren said that in 2008, the district started selling computers it had purchased only a year before for about 10% of the original purchase price. In November 2008, Warren asked for district records on both the air conditioning units and computers. Throughout 2009, she filed multiple requests seeking similar records. The most recent request was filed on January 13th, about 2 weeks before the lawsuit against her was filed. For more than a year, the response from district officials was that the records were not available or did not exist. In about April 2009, Warren, Regis, and Rejon filed complaints with the state ombudsman's office listing their long simmering complaints and alleging the district was breaking the state's public records law. State ombudsman Patrick Shanahan concluded in a letter dated June 29, 2009, that the district ultimately did produce requested documents, but he criticized school officials for their slow and incomplete responses. Shanahan noted it took a year and 4 months for Rejon to get the counseling records maintained on her own child. He also noted that it took the district a year to produce the records Regis requested about her son in 2008. Documents requested by Warren in November of 2008 were ultimately produced by the district 6 months after the school officials claimed no such records existed, Shanahan said in his letter. "We are concerned that the district staff does not fully understand its responsibilities and obligations under Arizona's public records law," Shanahan wrote in his letter of concern, which also recommended district administrators take a training class on public records. Though Warren said her battle to get public records from the district is still ongoing, she and others have had some success. Last year, the district began posting agendas and meeting minutes online, something Liz Hill of the Ombudsman's Office says she has long encouraged. As for the lawsuit filed by the district, Warren, Regis, and Rejon said they would have tried to fight the legal battle on their own if the Goldwater Institute had not taken the case. All three said they are reluctant to go onto school property because they fear district officials might try to have them arrested for trespassing on public property. Quote, "Just because you live in a small area does not mean you don't have rights," Warren said. "I live in a small community. I'm paying taxes and I have no rights. I don't think that's right. And I think that parents with children in that school should have even more rights than I do. They should be able to go in there, see their children, and make sure their children are okay." The end. So she reiterates in that last quote there, she reiterates her two main points, that taxpayers should be able to see where their money is going, and parents should be able to make sure their children are okay while those children are in school. Well, to Mrs. Warren and all of the other taxpayers in the Congress School District, on behalf of the school board, go fuck yourself. We'll see you in court.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan. Guns and money. Huh. friends and money. Send lawyers, guns and money.